It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we are off and running for New Year's Eve Eve. It's the 30th day of December, 2021. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that is The Horn chat room during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. My apologies for the late start by about a minute or so. Sometimes there are gremlins. But anyway, here we are. Hi. I'm Robin. And for this New Year's Eve Eve Thorn in the Side Thursday, we've got an abundance of thorns. Precious few roses, but lots of thorns. And if you pop into the chat room right now, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Ralphs and Squeaky and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has folded space into man cave part dur. Yeah. Hey, there's Roger in Oregon. And thank you very kindly to Ralphs. Ralphs has put forward a $50 challenge to help us out with the fundraising goal because, frankly, it's brutal right now. We've got $1,250 to go to finish. December and the week, and that's a tough mountain to climb. And so, thank you to all of our subscribers and Patreon, PayPal, a la carte contributors who help keep this all on the air. I hate the fundraising aspect of this program, but I don't know much in the way of how to. Do it otherwise. So thank you for the $50 challenge in honor of Ferg and his beloved and the little one on the way. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you so much. So very kind of you. So if that gets met, that'll get us down to $11.50. And a dispatch from Joey and Giraffe and Junior. Cease fires. On this day, December 30th, the two best players in their respective sports were born. Today, LeBron James turns 37 and Tiger Woods is 45. What are the odds of that? On this day in 1813, British troops burned Buffalo, New York during the War of 1812. Oh, no. Well, you know Jeffrey's got to have something to say. Yes, but after the city of Buffalo was torched, the people of the city became very resilient and restored the city once again. They came up with a restoration plan that was so effective that the Buffalo football franchise adopted the name for their team as they came to be known as the Buffalo Bills. Yes, the city of Buffalo rebuilt their city with a plan called the Build Back Better Plan. Oh, God, that giraffe. The llama is weary. Junior is also resilient. By the way, if you speak Melanian, Trump's wife's language, resilient is pronounced resilient. Blah. Nice work, Junior. He's learning so quickly. Most of us are aware of the Chicago fire. No, not the football team, but the actual fire that burned down a significant portion of the city in 1871 after a heifer allegedly kicked over a lantern in Mrs. O'Leary's barn, catching a pile of hay on fire and then much of the city. Just opening the doors for that giraffe. Well, the city of Chicago was determined to never be cowed like that again, so they implemented strong measures to prevent another catastrophe. Oh, God. Like the one from ever repeating itself. However, on this day, December 30th, 1903, nearly 600 people died when a fire broke out at the recently opened Iroquois Theater in Chicago. The city of Chicago decided that they must invoke even bolder measures to restore the city and ensure no other fire ever damages the city of Chicago again. The bold measures were so effective that the Chicago basketball team, the Chicago Bulls, decided to adopt the name as their mascot. Yes, the city of Chicago adopted and implemented the Bold Back Better plan. Oh, well, Junior's here to clean up the mess. Yeah, Chicago Bulls is an okay name, but I would have preferred the Chicago Cows because it has some alliteration. Bold Back Better. Oh, my aching. Well, never mind what's aching. By the way, alliteration translated in Milanian would be alliteration. Alliteration. Blah. Great time for the hiccups. On this day, December 30th, 1922, V.I. Lenin, Vladimir Lenin, proclaimed the establishment of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, which lasted nearly 70 years before it was, well, burned to the ground in December 1991. Speaking of Russia, on this day in 1916, Russian mystic and self-proclaimed holy man Grigory Rasputin was murdered as he was believed to be a threat to the Russian Empire. Oh, no, Jeffrey, don't do it. Don't do it. Oh, he's going to do it. They got rid of Rasputin. I wonder if they have a way of getting rid of this current rogue who runs country with iron sickle. Yes, you got rid of Rasputin. Now please get rid of the current leader, Vladimir Rasputin. Yeah, what did the doctor say when Vlad got into some poison ivy? Hey, you got a Rasputin? That's even more awful than Jeffrey, and I'm so proud of myself. On this day in 1972, the Vietnam War was effectively ended. The United States halted its heavy bombing and ceasefire in North Vietnam. Literally 10 years and tens of thousands of lives later, after Kennedy intended to end the war. Further news, Governor Mike DeWine in Ohio has decided since the spike in COVID-19, the Omicron, coming to a theater near you soon, is so out of hand, DeWine's sending in the National Guard to assist at hospitals. The silver lining is at least he will not be sending the National Guard to abortion clinics to harass women in search of their reproductive rights. And, of course, on cue, on this day in 1994, a gunman walked into a pair of suburban Boston abortion clinics and opened fire, killing two employees. Hey, DeWine, maybe we need some National Guard units to protect some of the abortion clinics that will be potentially under assault because of Republican rogues like you, so intent on interfering with women's rights and sticking up and stoking up gun nuts to go shoot people. And finally, speaking of Republicans in Boston, upon taking Jeffrey to Harvard for his orientation class, my wife, Jeffrey, and I decided to go to Mount Washington in New Hampshire, the highest point in this country east of the Mississippi. Jeffrey loves high things, and he loves to get high, as you well know. However, upon pulling up to Cograil train station, Jeffrey became angry and said he did not want to go up to the top of Mount Washington. Of course, Mount Washington was named after General George Washington, which was fine with Jeffrey. However, there were three smaller mountains on the way to the top, and all have names of previous presidents. When Jeffrey noticed one of the mountains was named Mount Reagan, after the asshole war criminal, Iran-Contra conspirator, and greasy-headed B-movie actor, and 40th president, Jeffrey just remained in the car, got high without going up the mountain. Now, this has been Joey's Journal for Thorn in the Side Thursday, the 30th day of December, 2021, with Giraffrey never driving or getting high on a Reagan highway. And the $50 Get Rid of the Rash challenge is on the table. That means we've got $75 in challenges for this evening. That would knock us down to actually $1,100 to go, and hopefully get us to the finish line. Thank you so much. And by the way, I was actually going to mention this because it's something I found out about. It was perfectly timed, and there was absolutely no coordination in this. It just worked out that way. But with Joey and Giraffe having mentioned Pootie, thank you, Billable Rick. Cowbells for yours and Giraffe's rash Putin wordplay. Well, thank you. I'll take that. And another note coming from Billable Rick before we get into the business of Putin. Somehow that didn't come out right, did it? Billable says, I'd like to know how you and your big sis Terry managed to get a bowl game named after you. The Trans Perfect Music City Bowl? No kidding? As you read this, that game is at halftime in Nash Vegas with Purdue leading Tennessee by a deuce, 23-21. So if trans are perfect, then you and Terry can join the Pope in the Infallibility Club. In any case, you and Terry are perfect in my book. Thank you. I just love her to pieces. She has been such a guiding spirit to me, and so generous in her help and her mentorship, and helping me get through this last year. And tomorrow, of course, will be the 1 year anniversary of her helping me come out here in the community. Happy early new year, says Billable Rick. I'll throw in $25 to meet 50% of Joey's challenge today. Thank you for that. So we're halfway done with Joey and Giraffe's challenge. Thank you so kindly. It means 25 left on that and $50. Yeah, I was wrong. It would knock us down to 10.50. 10.50 if both challenges are met. I was wrong about Ralph's challenge. Thank you, Ralph. Thank you, Joey. Thank you, Billable Rick. And I saw that, the Trans Perfect Music City Bowl. And I was intrigued enough that I did. I went and looked up what Trans Perfect is. And they are a global translation company. They're one of the 125 largest privately held companies in the New York City area. And in fact, a trans woman with whom I am familiar is actually in Nash Vegas because apparently she works for them. She's trans and she works for Trans Perfect, and I don't see how that could get any more Trans Perfect. Yeah, I did notice that. Hey, we've got a bowl game, which is made even more hilarious by the fact that Terry and I both despised playing high. Enjoy watching it, but despised playing high school football. It was brutal and ugly, and I wrote briefly about it on Christmas Eve. If you want to look up the post on Facebook. Randy Radar notes, I've been on the Cog Railway, and it is a very jerky ride on hard wooden seats. I guess that means I'll be staying away from it for a while. Of course, there's no real risk of me winding up in that part of the country anytime soon. I don't know. Maybe I could take my donut cushion with me. But, I'll bet it kind of is. okay, well played, Stockton Larry in the chat room. This is a cowbell. QAnon says that Vlad's mother was Lilliputian. Lilliputian, Lilliputian, yeah. So I was listening to some NPR program, and they were, it was a show about the LGBTQ, et cetera, LGBTQ, QQIA plus community in Mother Russia, and how brutal it can be. But along the way, whoever it was that was telling the story related, and he's apparently a gay man who is a reporter who was posted in Moscow, and he told the story of an ad that's running in Mother Russia of late. And it was one of those things where you're listening and she's like, I'm not going to shut the car off and go in. And no, not yet. I was getting some gas. And I sort of moved towards slack-jawed just amazement. I guess this shit works in Mother Russia. But it is apparently an ad in which it's a nightmare scenario. It's a little vignette of I guess he's a 50-something Russian citizen. And he says, well, you know, I do not think I will go and vote at the next election. Yeah, I know, but it worked. I like the W sound. I don't think I will go and vote. And then he goes to sleep that night, and he has a nightmare. And in the nightmare, he gets up and goes into the kitchen in the morning for breakfast, and there's a little gay boy sitting at the breakfast table, eating, of course, a banana, because of course. And he says, "What is this that is going on here?" And his wife replies, "Well, you know, it's the law now, Dmitry." I don't know why Dmitry's wife doesn't have a horrible Russian accent too. It is law now, Dmitry. You know, we have new law. For the case, every family must take in a gay person and adopt them as their own. And so he is here, and of course, Dmitry, remember, if he does not find boyfriend by time he turns 20, you have to be boyfriend. Right? And meanwhile, as the guy described it, the kid's sitting over there at the table again, basically giving head to a banana. And then you know, the message, and of course, this is what happened when Vladimir Putin, not president anymore, to protect Mother Russia from all the gayness. Apparently, it works. Russia is a deeply, deeply homophobic country, and, you know, anti everything in the rainbow flag. But you know, that's a Russian nightmare. Never mind the fact of all of the poets and authors and composers and choreographers and painters in Mother Russia who have been gay. Tchaikovsky comes to mind. But we do not talk about this in Mother Russia. It is not something we discuss. And gangs, homophobic gangs, wander the streets of Russian streets and beat people they perceive to be gay or lesbian or bi or trans or queer. And they with impunity, because they have the tacit approval of Vlad Putin. But you have to think, if that ad works, there must be just an absolute boatload of latency in Mother Russia, because that level of hatred is all too often a matter of people desperately at war with who they really are. Oh, back to TransPerfect. Steve in New York says, TransPerfect is a very interesting thing. If you want to see a real live War of the Roses, look up the business divorce of Liz Elting, who started TransPerfect, and Phil Shaw. I worked on the case and was on the side that represented Mr. Shaw, and wow, Brutal doesn't even cover it. Nasty, nasty, nasty. Apparently, TransPerfect was founded in a college dormitory and just exploded into a massive enterprise. And now they've got a bowl game. And I'm sure the trans community all over the country is going, well, I'm going to watch this one. We are. We are perfect. So I'm glad that Joey gave me the opportunity to work in that. I gotta find that. I wonder if it's on YouTube. It would be worth looking for. Let's take a second here. There it is. Yeah. Okay. I don't know what the... This will probably have... I don't know. Yeah, it's subtitles. March 17th, 2018, 11:15 p.m.
Я будильник на 9 поставила.
I set the alarm for 9 a.m.
Молодец.
Good for you.
А теперь выключи.
Now shut it off. Tomorrow's Sunday.
Завтра же дел много.
There's lots to do tomorrow. Must make time to go vote. She's off to vote.
То без тебя там не выберут.
As if they won't elect anyone without you.
Кандидаты завтра вечером рыдать.
Candidates will be crying crocodile tears tomorrow night. Oh no, Lucy didn't come and vote in the election.
Мы теперь без ее голос поймем, кто у нас президентом будет.
Who will our president be? I said shut off the alarm now, you pseudo-politician. Tomorrow we sleep in. Banging on the door. Comrade, open the door. Who the devil is that? May you all spontaneously combust. Greetings. I'm General Boyko. We're here to take you into the army. I'm 52 years old. Excellent. The draft age has been raised to 60.
Кто поднял?
Как кто? Президент? Вы же сами за него голосовали.
Да ни за кого я не голосовал.
I didn't vote for anybody. Goodbye, old man.
Пап, дай мне 4 миллиона. Мне в школе...
Dad, give me 4 million to pay for security guards at school. Little kid.
Подожди, сынок, сейчас
я... Hold that thought, son. I'll ask your mother.
Пап.
Еще форма какая-то дебильная.
Why is his uniform so idiotic looking? Lucy, I...
Так. Это что еще за хрен?
Я вообще-то гей на передержке.
Who is the... Wait, wait.
Ну ты чего? Сегодня по закону любая семья должна брать гея на передержку.
Yes, who is this? I want to see if I saw that right.
Ну ты чего? Сегодня по закону...
Pretty little boy. Short hair, sitting at the kitchen table, buffing his nails. And Pop asks... Who's this dickweed? He says, well, if you must know, I'm your foster gay.
Это что еще за хрен?
Я вообще-то гей на передержке.
Кто?
Ну ты чего?
What's wrong with you? Today we have laws that every family
не по закону любая семья должна брать гея на передержке.
Has to foster gays abandoned by their partners. There's still a week left. If he doesn't find a new partner by then, you'll have to get together with him.
Закон есть закон.
Law's the law.
Послушайте, мне кажется, нам нужно с вами очень серьезно поговорить.
Я пытаюсь тебя понять, я пытаюсь тобой.
He's melting down.
Внимание, количество посещений туалета.
Attention, number of visits to the bathroom is limited.
Ограничено. Внимание, количество посещений туалета.
Папа, дай мне 4 миллиона, мне не надо.
And now he wakes up. And he knows what he has to do. Because it was so terrible.
It was so horrible that he would have to be decent to a gay kid. Unbearable. Awful.
Такая хрень приснится. Ты прикинь?
Вот, вот. Я тебя успокою.
And of course. He rolls over toward his wife and says, "You won't believe the dream I just had." And then the covers come off, and it's the gay kid from his dream who says, "Don't be scared. I'll keep you calm." And rolls over and puts his arm around him. And now he wakes up again. And there's still somebody under the covers with the covers pulled over their head. Get up. Hurry, we've got to go and vote. Before it's too late. Let's go. Dear God. I shouldn't offer any value judgments on this because we as a country are every bit as susceptible to similar idiocy. We know what's coming in 2022. It's already begun. We had the great how long have we been in the great potty terror? That's at least 6 years old, isn't it? Yeah. And of course, you go back a little further, and all those family values organizations. Remember how they said that people would just be getting divorced from their one man, one woman marriage that God ordained, and they'd go off and get all gay married up, and marriages would fall apart. And then it didn't happen. And instead, you've got some probably an equal number of happy and unhappy same-sex marriages. But they're still banging away, and they're still out there fundraising on the gay community's back, the trans community's back, because it's a good dollar. So there's not a lot of room for us to go, ha, 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 look at the funny, stupid Russians. But, you know, my heart hurts for anybody who is a member of a marginalized community in that country. Can you imagine what it would be like to get up every day and wonder if this is the day that someone kills you for just living and loving how you are? Oh, wait, we're still talking about America. Never mind. Sure. Yeah, the Russian nightmare commercial, Billable Rick, says, they doth protest gayness too much in Russia. Projection, anyone? Oh, it's all projection. I mean, really? Pootie riding around shirtless on a... Sure. I mean, really. So, that was just a nice place to get us started with a bit of a, not really lightheartedness. So, along to more serious topics, and by the way, we're only going to do 2 hours this evening, so I want to make sure that I'm able to handle all 3 hours tomorrow evening. Remember, I'll be filling in for Malloy on Progressive Voices on TuneIn and on the Horn stream, the HeadOn.live stream, at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So join in there. This is the last night of me doing that, but, for this little segment of time when the Malloy's took a little hiatus at the end of the year. Step forward in New York State, the governor there, Kathy Hochul, has made an official government declaration that racism is a public health crisis. Good for her.
Good for her. And because it's a public health crisis, that means that the government can move on the issue. And she signed a whole bunch of legislation that had been passed by the New York legislature to address racism and racism-based violence and hate. Issuing a statement last week, Governor Hochul said, "For far too long, communities of color in New York have been held back by systemic racism and inequitable treatment. I'm proud to sign legislation that addresses this crisis head-on, addressing racism, expanding equity, and improving access for all. Among other things, there will be enhanced data collection on victims of violence, with a particular emphasis on anti-Asian and Pacific Islander hate. Because throughout the course of the Trump coronavirus pandemic, the Trump pandemic, anti-Asian hate has shot through the roof. It's S70AA2230, Hate Crimes Analysis and Review Act, collection and reporting of demographic data concerning hate crime victims and their alleged perpetrators." Karinas Reyes issued a statement, one of the co-sponsors of the legislation, and said, "Our state is meant to be a beacon of diversity, equity, and inclusion, but without the tools to protect our marginalized communities, these words carry little truth behind them. The Hate Crimes Analysis and Review Act ensures that we collect accurate demographic data of perpetrators and victims to better protect the communities being targeted. Without data, the plight of many will remain invisible." So the goal is to create a more accurate and relevant public record. State Senator Julia Salazar said, "As New York continues to face the devastation caused by the COVID-19 public health crisis, it is essential that the needs of all of our communities be understood and met. For the diverse Asian American and Pacific Islander communities in New York, this cannot be accomplished without detailed data that recognizes and respects the experiences of the numerous groups that make up the AAPI communities. It enhances the state's requirement to translate all governmental communications into the most common non-English languages spoken by New Yorkers. Inclusivity in healthcare, expanding the list of conditions that newborns are screened for to include conditions found in newborns from the Middle East, Africa, and the South and Southeast Asia. All in all, a good thing. So, consequently, expect a right-wing conniption in 3, 2, 1. Actually, it's already started. And this and what comes next is a perfect example of how the two sides of American politics view an issue. This is a matter of seeing a problem and addressing it and trying to alleviate it. On the other hand, it just so happened that the same time that I saw that article, I dipped a toe into the filthy and fetid waters of the right-wing fever swamp over at the Daily Caller. Let's see, that's Tucker Carlson's joint, isn't it? So therefore it's going to be just wall-to-wall fascism. And the headline reads, "How Activists Are Hardwiring Race Marxism into the Medical Field." Don't tell them at the Daily Caller, but there's no such thing as race Marxism. It's another dumbass POS made up controversy along the lines of, say, partial birth abortion. That doesn't exist either. And it leads with a hot lead to it. The Biden administration proposed giving bonus payments to physicians who acknowledge systemic racism as the primary cause of health differences between racial groups and incorporate so-called anti-racism into their medical practices. Wow, really? Nah, none.
what it boils down to is the Biden administration is acknowledging a reality, and that is there are disparate outcomes in health that can be tracked along ethnic lines. That's all. And the article cites a conniption over a statement by the American Board of Medical Specialties saying institutionalized racism is a public health crisis that must be addressed. Our statement. The American Board of Medical Specialties and its 24-member boards believe that the institutionalized racism and the violence against communities of color haunting our nation and our culture for centuries is a public health issue that must be addressed. As a healthcare community, we are committed to standing against all forms of discrimination as well as violent acts based on intolerance. We are committed to working together to bring about fair and equal access to healthcare resources and to establish a system that supports the health and well-being of all our communities, regardless of their race, religion, or sexual orientation. Not particularly controversial as far as I can tell, you? Oh, but no, the flag is falling, the republic is in peril. No, not because a bunch of maggots attacked thousands of them attacked the seat of constitutional governance on January 6, 2021. No, not that. But because physicians might actually begin to pay attention to healthcare disparities and disparities of outcome that have plagued communities of color, forever. The father of gynecology, okay, established the discipline with non-consensual experimentation on women of color. That's not painting with a broad brush. That's what he did. But the breathless idiot who wrote this, who is the breathless idiot, just so we know, the breathless idiot is Laurel Duggan. No, I think she's Laurel Duggan Friday. Duggan hyphen Friday is the breathless idiot. And she wrote, ABMS member boards, which license doctors in specific fields such as family medicine or pediatrics, collect racial data on candidates and physicians to evaluate certification exams and incorporate the data into ongoing improvement efforts, according to the ABMS website. Most of these boards also provide implicit bias training for item writers and examiners and plan to expand these trainings further. ABMS did not respond to the Daily Caller's request for comment. And why would you? One of the things that particularly inflames Laurel Duggan Friday is the fact that early on in the pandemic, there was thinking that healthcare workers should be prioritized for vaccination over older Americans. And the idea that there should be priority given in for vaccines in communities of color. No. Now, what Laurel Duggan Friday doesn't mention is the fact that the reason you would prioritize vaccines in communities of color. Well, do you remember? I know we remember. We've talked about it so many times. There was about a nanosecond where it appeared that maybe just possibly COVID Caligula would take the pandemic kind of a little bit seriously. And that nanosecond passed the instant, and it lines up. It tracks perfectly. The instant that they found out, the COVID Caligula administration, that a whole lot of the dying was being done in communities of color. And boom. Next thing you know, hydroxychloroquine, Stella Emanuel out there talking about demons burying men's penises under the sea, aquarium cleaner, On and on and on. And, of course, we moved into things like horse paste. Now, of course, Laurel Duggan Friday doesn't say that. I mean, it was a rational, reasonable thing to do. You don't go vaccinate communities. You vaccinate the communities that are suffering the most, and then you... But never mind. Doctors and medical institutions are questioning how they allocate limited resources in crisis situations in light of unequal health outcomes for different racial groups. Specifically, some medical professionals have advocated for prioritizing some, that's the Fox News style book, some medical professionals have advocated for prioritizing black and Latino patients on the basis of race when rationing limited life-saving medical resources. Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston considered a pilot program which would prioritize patients for cardiovascular care explicitly on the basis of race. Jesus. Medical Marxism. When all it is an attempt to triage care, which is limited, especially limited in underserved communities. But, of course, if you work for a Nazi like Tucker Carlson, and I do not use that word lightly, he's a white supremacist. Okay, we'll say white supremacist. You don't paint something like that or describe something like that as being a function of a rational approach to care. No. You've got to keep the weirdos who read your site done to a tender turn, and they're under attack because white. And then, of course, more than 1,000 health professionals publicly supported mass protests in the wake of George Floyd's death. She can't even say murder. Despite COVID-19 concerns. Arguing that racism was a public health threat which superseded the medical community's social distancing advice. And calls out in particular... Dr. Jennifer Nuzzo of Johns Hopkins, who said, in this moment, the public health risks of not protesting to demand an end to systemic racism greatly exceed the harms of the virus. And, of course, we know subsequently that there was no massive outbreak, because in the earliest days of the protesting, while people were in the streets, they were masked. They were masked. But yeah, white grievance, and they're, you know, and on a white supremacist website, I guess this is no surprise. But it's wild how something like that can find its way into into popular voices. You know, we had that brief clip yesterday when I was talking with Steve, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan, the guy who called, what's his name, McCardle, at C-SPAN, talking about, you know, the blacks are the real racists. Well, an author by the name of Heather McGee was a guest on Washington Journal this past Tuesday and was questioned by Mr. McCardle. And, of course, you take calls, and naturally, with
with Ms. McGee being black, well, her mere presence there was enough to inflame the booger eaters.
I want you to respond to both as we try to work our way through a bit of a backlog here. Gordon, Kansas City Republican, you're up first. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Hi, Heather. I'm so the opposite of you. And
well, white, male, her, black, female. Yeah, I guess that's pretty opposite. I don't think that's what he means. She was, now bear in mind what they were talking about. She was there to talk about her book, The Sum of Us, What Racism Costs Everyone, and How We Can Prosper Together. Not exactly a shrieking jeremiad against white supremacy as much as how do we sort this, how do we sort out the ongoing problem that racism represents in the United States of America? Okay? Well, our Republican in Kansas City.
I wonder if you get up in the morning and you have to fight that white blood off because it's trying to make you a racist. You have to fight that white blood off and all this stuff that you're talking about.
What, Grand Kliegel? He's claiming that because basically she's on TV and she is light-skinned as opposed to dark-skinned. So he has made our caller here has made the determination that, she's got some white blood. Good God. We're back to the one-drop rule. One drop.
Yeah. Was addressed in the 60s. Low-income housing was built. You guys got child care, anything.
You guys got child care. You got anything. Oblivious. The grand cyclops is oblivious of the fact that the vast majority of welfare resources that are consumed in this country are consumed by, come on, white people. You guys got...
You've always got your hand out, and I just think it's pitiful that you think you write a book and you know everything about every white person alive.
Pretty sure there's not a sentence in that book that says, "Hi, I'm Heather McGee, and I know everything about every white person alive." And meanwhile, she's looking into the camera with a smile on her face. It may not work out for the Grand Wizard from Kansas City.
Actually, Heather McGee, let me let you address that one.
Sure. I'm not...
Sure!
Quite sure what... was meant by some of it, but let's see. I definitely don't claim to know everything about every white person alive. My book depends on a lot of research and survey data that asks representative samples of different groups of Americans, white, black, and brown, what they think about laws and policies, whether they think that black people just want a handout or not. And it's not everybody, but it's between 50 and 60%. The majority of white conservatives and moderates believe that black people take more from society than we give. I sensed a little bit of that view in your own question, sir. So I think what I'm saying is I want to ask,
How does she remain so calm and so cool and so collected? Because I think I would be I would be clawing at the camera trying to get through the...
Who is selling...
This is one of those moments where Barack Obama's anger translator could come in handy.
That story... Who's profiting from your average white American holding such negative views about their fellow American? I am not at all saying, and I don't say in The Sum of Us, that all white people are the same. But I do ask that question of everything we believe comes from a story we've been told. So I want to know who's selling a story that white people are the contributors to society and black people are the takers of society. Who's selling ignorance?
Yeah, ignorance. How does she not say, hey, dumbass, who built the Capitol of the United States? Hey, dumbass, who built the White House? Hint, not white. Dear God. Stephen New York says, the Grand Saltine on C-SPAN. I'm thinking he had a checklist in front of him to make sure he hit all the right words. That was so cliched, it was almost not real. I hate that the host didn't say that question didn't even merit a response. That's one of the reasons I can't watch, and I rely on people like Steve and Todd to take one for the team and watch Washington Journal for me, because I can't stand the way that the C-SPAN hosts act as though every burbling bit of mania that comes through their phone lines is of equal value to attempts to, I don't know, convey facts or make cogent arguments that are structured in the brief amount of time that a caller gets. I can't stand it. Because it makes matters worse. It makes it more likely that more people will feel emboldened to express similar sentiments. And yeah, it is. I wonder if you get up and you have to fight off your white blood. Cocktail hour apparently comes early in Kansas City at that guy's house. But they talk like that and they think like that. Awful people do. White supremacists, racist, that guy was clearly a white supremacist. And she describes them without using the term.
About the great accomplishments of the black community and how many obstacles had to be overcome. Who's selling stereotypes in cable news day in and day out? And how are they profiting from it? That's the question I ask in the book. I hope against hope that you might grab a copy from your local library and read it.
She didn't even ask him to go buy it, because you know he wouldn't buy no author. I wouldn't buy no. Well, first of all, the Supreme Kleagle wouldn't buy a book in the first place. He gets all his news and information from Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, and other racists who call into Washington Journal and Fox News, TV, Radio Rwanda, and Newsmuck. That's where he gets, because he can trust them. They're fire. And they only talk about facts when, you know, 99% of what goes on is nothing but opinion. But go borrow the book at your local library. Oh, Ms. McGee, you're assuming he can read. That's so sweet of you.
Or read just a chapter or two of it and see if the interpretation that you have of what.
Oh, ma'am, he couldn't read the front cover. No.
What the message is, stands up. Because I did write the book not just for people like me, not just for black and brown folks, but for all of us to stop sort of criticizing each other and look more at the people who are profiting from a rigged economy.
To Greg in Texas, Democrat, good morning.
Yeah, we're not going to hear from Greg. He probably... God, do you have to get up every morning and fight your white blood? And you know, I commend her. I commend her for, you know, not losing her shit. She's a pro.
And what a perfect, but what a perfect example of how broad and deep the problems are that this country continues to face. By the way, Scott in San Diego a moment ago said, who knew that Trump University would be rebranded and reopened as Mengele Memorial Medical and Ms. Duggan Friday would be dean of the facility? Well said, Scott. Well said. Stephen New York says, the Grand Saltine and books. I was going to say that the only book he would buy would be the Bible. Then I realized he probably stole his copy of the Giddy-Up Bible from the Motel 6 nightstand. I don't know why she did it, but one of the days that we were in the hotel in Florence, Annette opened the nightstand drawer and said, what, are they not putting Bibles in here anymore? And then she walked over there, oh, here it is. Because there was a nightstand on either side. You only get one Bible per customer. Kansas City Morning Cocktails, Scott, who lived there at one point, says, most package stores in Kansas City have a neon sign with the official slogan, we may doze, but we never close. Yeah, I can see that. Mm-hmm. Oh, and speaking of San Diego, I don't know if Scott's aware of this, but let's see here. Oh, there it is. From the San Diego Union-Tribune, county issues alert as San Diego emergency rooms overflow. Many of those heading to hospitals are seeking COVID testing. As of yesterday, San Diego County Emergency Department saw such a significant increase in traffic that the region's emergency medical director issued a special alert just after 1 p.m. Wednesday. About half of the 22 hospitals across the region were so busy they had to divert some ambulances to other facilities, a common practice designed to give overburdened medical staff time to catch up with crushing demand. The spike appeared to be due in part to a demand for testing. And I guess it's medical Marxism, like Ms. Duggan Friday was blathering about, to suggest that, well, you remember how irritating and frustrating it was when we found out that non-vaccinated people were going to be prioritized for things like vents and ICU beds ahead of people who were vaccinated. Guess you can't just turn them away. But now with between the Delta surge and the Omicron super surge, the numbers tend to indicate that about the only people being hospitalized now are the unvaccinated. And this business of going to I don't understand why do you go to the ER for a COVID test? Coming one day after a last-minute holiday bowl cancellation attributed to COVID-19, the sudden increase in coronavirus-related emergency visits Wednesday coincided with further evidence in the region's weekly COVID-19 report that the local pandemic continues to worsen. There were 3,653 new positive test results listed for Tuesday, the largest single-day number published since January 7th, when 4,550 positives were recorded in a single day, the peak for last winter's surge. That's worrisome, though. According to Dr. Joshua McCabe, who runs the emergency services at Sharp Memorial Hospital in San Diego, just this morning, 15 patients arrived in 1 hour that were all seeking treatment for COVID. Between 8 and 9 in the morning, there was no other complaint in the ER except influenza-like symptoms that tested COVID-19 positive. He does say that they're not, that the cases don't seem to be as bad. When patients come in now with COVID, it's more like a flu, and they're just not feeling well. We're not seeing them as often with low oxygen saturation levels like we were when COVID first started. But that doesn't
It doesn't help when you consider that the number of cases appear to be increasing faster than they did last year and more quickly than during the Delta surge. The doctor added, more people are getting sick than ever before, and when people get sick with COVID, if they have any other diseases or are elderly, they certainly run a much higher risk of hospitalization and death. The positivity rate at Rady Children's Hospital in San Diego comes back at nearly 25%. And... That's past worrisome, but all is not well. Let's see. Here's a 44-year-old who spent Christmas in the intensive care unit. Three days ago, he had claimed his Herman Cain Award, leaving behind five children. They had posted, he and his wife, with God's grace and all the prayers from family and friends, I'll be going home tomorrow from a cancer treatment in August. 2 days earlier than anyone has ever did with stem cell transplant. Thank you, God, family, and friends. Where's thank you, doctor? A meme of, Mommy, why aren't we wearing masks? Please continue to pray for Mrs. Herman Cain Award. She got moved to the ICU last night. And then, of course, well, I'm sure I'll piss some liberal Democrats off. This was November 30th. But don't care. First off, this White House administration should be tried for treason against the people of the world. They leaked this virus to get more power and rid of our last president. How about that? This administration, which wasn't an administration in the fall of 2019, leaked the virus. People died at the hand of Democrats, and for what more power they need to go, they work for us, not the other way around. I hope like hell something gets done soon. Jesus. And then December 1st, now I'm in the ER on O2. And then, of course, the obligatory hi, everyone. Since Mr. and Mrs. Herman Cain Award can't do updates on themselves, now I just wanted their friends to know what was going on with them. Yeah. Dead, December the 27th. And there's oodles of these. Here's one who claimed his award. China gets auto chips. Russia gets a pipeline. The Taliban gets U.S. arms. Cartels get open borders. We get mandates, lockdowns, inflation, and a hostage crisis. Don't you get it yet? A meme with a picture of Dr. Fauci with a package of Oscar Mayer bologna for a mask. Another meme of Anthony Fauci. This summer, everyone should wear sunscreen so the person next to you won't get sunburned. And there's always, it seems like so often, it becomes predictable. A panel of Lucy and Linus talking. with the dialogue change. Lucy says, liberal scientists can prove climate change is real. And Linus answers, they can't tell the difference between boys and girls. It's always there. It's always there. And then a picture of somebody with meth mouth. Every fork in your favorite, in all your favorite restaurants has been in a mouth like this, and you're worried about coronavirus? Make no mistake, the Obamas were the creators and starting point of all the division and current anti-American chaos we're witnessing in America today. And then, finally, just haven't been able to find the way or the words. My father lost his battle with COVID and passed away on Monday night at 8:30. Often described to me by my friends as the original brawny paper towel man or Sam Elliott's long-lost brother, the man never aged. You know, that's really not something you... Well, he won't be aging anymore. Oh, and Jeremy in Vermont reminds us, we had 900 new COVID cases here yesterday, which is our all-time high. Keep in mind, Vermont has a population between 600 to 700,000 people, depending on when colleges are in season. It's terrifying. Meanwhile, I checked in on Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice's press conference today, or his update. In no way, shape, form, or fashion am I going to do a goddamn thing to even try to stop the spread of this here disease. But I sure do wish y'all would go and wear your masks and get a vaccine. But that's all I'm going to do. I'm going to wish. It's terrifying. There's a New Year's Eve party tomorrow night across the river. It would be nice to go get all dolled up. Ain't gonna. The party is right here. And there will be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people at it. And hell, we may all be asleep before midnight. I'm hoping maybe tomorrow to go and get a piece of brisket to do it turn into corned beef and do corned beef and cabbage on the smoker for New Year's Day. I think that would be really tasty. I love quartering a good sized head of cabbage and putting it in the smoker for a little bit. Picks up all that wonderful smoke flavor. Goes great with the corned beef. Wonderful. Because we haven't done any food porn in a little bit. How do you interpret the C-SPAN caller? Our dear sister Jude asks. Getting up every morning and having to face her fight her white blood. What was that again? I appreciate you playing this audio, Robin. As I was gliding in the energy of this host's response, which lifted me in a higher consciousness. She had every right to call him everything but a child of God, but she retained her grace, which always amazes me, because I don't know, like I said, I don't know if I'm that good a person. So, by the way, we are 10 minutes into the second hour of the program, and thanks to Billable Rick, $25 of Joey and Giraffe's challenge has been met, and we've got $50 to go on Ralph's, and 25 more on Joey and Giraffe's, plus, I think, $10 of Joey and Giraffe's challenge from yesterday. So, what is that, $85 in challenges. It would be great if we could meet them so that we're not, if we could just bring the total below $1,000 for tomorrow, it'd be fantastic. And, you know, I
things like this. Part of the reason I came home before I had even planned was because it was just becoming impossible to maintain two households at the same time. So anybody that wants to jump in on those challenges, this is a chance to double your money. And it would be, well, that'd get us down to $10.50 or something like that. Maybe $10.30. Stephen, New York says, turns out the vaccine doesn't cause antlers to grow, but it does cause horns to grow. My partner speaks via text and phone through WhatsApp. He gets all kinds of anti-vax spam and COVID bullshit. He told me he actually got a message that said that the vaccine causes people to grow horns. I mean, it's not antlers, but, well, you know. Now, listen up. In no way, shape, form, or fashion is this vaccine going to cause you to grow antlers. I'd almost forgotten about that. Almost. Not quite. So let's see here. Where are we? Well, we're in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. That's where we are. But I'm going to spin badly, among other things. But let's take a couple of minutes. I'll be right back, and we'll see where the program takes us. Okay? A little music in the meantime. Thank you.
Okay, all better now. Sorry about the interruption, but can't be helped. Note coming in from Matt in San Francisco. Rich white folks are a COVID problem in San Francisco. Oh, dear. San Francisco's whitest neighborhood, the Marina, is experiencing its highest COVID case rate of the pandemic this month, and in a turnaround from last year's trends, is currently seeing the lion's share of new cases. Beautiful. Much like other cities around the country, San Francisco's poorest neighborhoods and those that are majority non-white saw some of the highest rates of COVID for much of 2020 and through last spring, but with the Omicron surge this month, it appears to be whiter and more affluent parts of the city are seeing the most recorded cases, according to city data. I'm sure that, let's see, the Marina, 197 cases per 10,000, Russian Hill, 164 cases per 10,000, Hayes Valley, 158. All very much Tony areas of the city. And, behaving badly in general is kind of a theme. Let's see. Let's check in with a bar in Seattle. A bar in Pioneer Square. A bartender there asked a patron for their, vaccine card. The patron then took a broomstick and attacked her, the bartender. Of course, the bold, brave attacker fled before the Seattle PD could show up. Witnesses told officer the suspect attacked the bartender with a sharpened broomstick after she asked for proof of vaccination. That kind of makes it sound like the attacker brought the broomstick with them. Naturally, the police can't find the mask-hole COVIDiot, and I bet we know how they vote. There's one of these every day. Five tourists from Texas attacked a restaurant hostess when she said she didn't think those were real vaccine cards. And they probably weren't. You know, they were probably signed Epstein's mom. She asked for the diners for proof of vaccination, and then she said, these aren't real. These are fake. And, The five Texans then tried to beat the shit out of her. Fortunately, she was not seriously injured. And they were all ticketed for assault. They're facing charges. And I hope the great weight of the law falls on these Texans. Jesus. And then in Phoenix, this past Sunday, a woman was arrested for running onto the airport tarmac there, trying to stop a plane that was about to take off without her. 53-year-old Vicky Myers was identified by Phoenix police at Phoenix Sky Harbor International Airport. She was late for her flight and entered a secure area. God. Every freaking day. Then there's the worker at an Air Force Weapons Management Center. He's been charged for in the attack on the Capitol, January the 6th. Jared Samuel Kastner, age 24, employed at the Air Force Life Cycle Management Center at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, is still employed, according to the Springfield News Sun. He was arrested December 8th. His former supervisor ID'd him in two photos from the insurrection. And an FBI agent said, well, yeah, and he's got some distinctive facial hair. He went from Ohio to Washington with a guy named Luke Faulkner, who's also facing charges of entering and remaining in a restricted building or grounds, disorderly and disruptive conduct in a restricted building or grounds, disorderly conduct in the Capitol building, and parading and demonstrating or picketing in the Capitol building. Maybe they'll get, like, you know, 15 minutes when they're finally convicted. It's, well, I don't know. I'm still waiting. Yeah. What's the line from the narration in Casablanca? And in Casablanca, they wait and wait and wait. Well, that's where we are. Waiting to see if there will be any consequences whatsoever for these treacherous assholes. Let's run over to the Skype line and check in with Todd. Hey, Todd.
Hello, how are you doing?
Ah, pretty good, I think. How about you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm glad to be off. I have a few days off now.
Need the break.
Man. The crazy people. Good God.
Is there an outbreak of stupid?
It's well, that's always, I mean, that's like a constant. I mean, the kind
well,
of
I mean, it is South Carolina.
Well, you know what's funny? You're going to get me off on a tangent, but it's two things. And it's funny because I have someone I'm close to that I always joke. I say, well, let's remember the low literacy rate here, because it's not just a number. It's not just a stat. It bleeds into everyday life. It means something. You know, there's no way around it.
No, it's real and it's on display.
It's on display. When you're surrounded with a lot of people who are just, you know, they're not with it, and they don't intend to get with it anytime soon. You know, they don't want to read. They just want to be told what to do. They want to believe in what they believe in. That's it. You know, when they come in where I work and they already know everything, I just let them talk. Okay, whatever you say. I'll be over here
that's where you do the head nod and think, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. You know it. Testify.
You know it. God, I hope this guy leaves in 10 minutes. Oh. But, and the other little phrase we talk about is that, you know, I think we've all forgotten what average really is.
Oh, dear.
And it's okay to be average. It's okay, because that's what most people are. That's what average is. We're expecting too much from our fellow human beings. We really are.
You know, it reminds me of the way that Garrison Keillor used to describe Lake Wobegon. And where all the children are above average.
You know, it's Minnesota, MMPI. I mean, you know, they're known for they had the best education. You know that. You know they're known for that.
Mm.
In Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but I just had to put that out there before I got off on a tangent. Because it's true, though. I mean, it's like, okay, they have to take a deep breath. Like, okay, man, they don't understand. And look, I'm
yeah, I mean, it's been a tradition since at least, you know, 33 CE. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. He wasn't just talking about the people driving the nails.
Oh, my God. What an observation. That is good. Wow. Well,
thank you.
See? Of course. Well, you're not average. See what happens? Okay. So I was listening earlier, and then I had to get out of the vehicle and do some stuff and got back in and get home. And it seems like I was hearing Heather McGee on a clip.
You were.
Well, I'm just curious, how did that come to be?
She accepted an invitation to be interviewed on Washington Journal, and hilarity ensued.
Because that was recently. I remember that was a few days ago.
Yeah, it was a couple of days old.
Yeah, but she's the reason I brought it up is I've been following her for quite some time, but she's very good at what she does. And she's really good at not assigning blame and trying to be objective and to help people along. Like, okay, this dumb motherfucker doesn't have enough money to buy a book. I'm not even going to mention that. I'm going to say go to the library. And maybe this person will see some other books that interest him. Because that I saw that interview. And, you know, C-SPAN is just chock full of great material. If you learn how to work, it's clunky. But, you know, they have, you know, bona fide professors and, you know, emeritus and everything else, you know, that are in the actual classroom. And you can attend a lecture, mostly in history, which is not bad. I mean, this is the real deal. You know, if you want to learn, people want to learn something. But she has been on there, and she has one of the most popular clips ever on C-SPAN. And I bet Steve and Georgia knows of this clip. It's from a few years ago, and it's very instructional because, you know, obviously it's about bias and racism, this and that. But a caller calls in, and he's sincere. He asks her, well, how can you help me to be less racist? Okay, so she pauses, like she does, she pauses. And, you know, and she's just really, and she's not, you know, and she's pretty on top of that, not that it matters. But, you know, she's just really a kind,
She seems very thoughtful.
She is very thoughtful. She is, you can, I mean, I could almost guarantee you that she's a person who engages in reflection at the end of the day, or, you know, she does what she has to do to be a better person, like most of us should try to do, I think. You know, like Jude and other folks and Trey, you know, most of us do that because we don't want to be bad people walking around on this planet because we know we're not perfect. Everybody makes mistakes, but don't keep making the same mistake. But when he asked her that, and anyone can pull it up, and it got me thinking, it's the holiday season. It's a very instructional tool for some friends or family that you have who are mired in this nonsense. Because some of the worst types of racists are the people who swear up and down they're not racist. And they just, you know, and they just don't, maybe they don't, I don't know what it is.
Are you talking about the I've got a black friend people?
That would be correct. That would absolutely be correct. You know, and then, you know, we got the other layer with all this other stuff that's going on now. And let's be frank, a lot of white folks are just tired of hearing what they interpret, what they perceive to be black people crying all the time. You know, they're just sick of it. They don't want to hear it. They just tune it out. You know, and when the people get killed on the street by certain people who are supposed to be serving us, you know, they say, well, he had it coming or he shouldn't have been outside. You know, it's always some excuse. If you notice, there's a pattern there. I don't know if you've noticed it. You know. So, but anyway, I heard Heather McGee, and she's just really exceptional. She's an exceptional person. That's exceptional. That's American exceptional. Yeah,
but, you know, it is. She is an extraordinary scholar. I'm familiar with her in the past. And, her answer was graceful, but for me, Todd, the reason for running the clip was the lead in with Cletus Kliegel from Kansas City. I mean, they're not only not ashamed of how they are,
They proudly want to display it for all and sundry. Imagine being that lost. Sorry, I turned the heat on in here.
Right.
So that's what that roar is in the background. I apologize.
Oh, don't apologize. You can't afford to be sick. You kidding? And I'm glad you're home. Aren't you glad to be home?
Oh, so very. It's just, I set up the rig in the apartment in Birmingham. I set it up in Florence. We had some tech problems in Florence. But for the most part, I was sharing walls with other people. And I'm just not comfortable in that circumstance. And so to be back here in the hills and back here in the studio and just feeling like I'm in my right space, if that makes any sense at all.
It does, and you're sounding good and strong and got, you know, well put together. So, you know, that's what we can do. That's what we can do.
And, you know, I am getting better, and I just want to make sure that I can handle all 3 hours tomorrow evening. Did 3 hours on Monday, do 3 hours tomorrow, and then that gives me, because I really have to rest up after that.
Had you already done it this week?
I did 3 hours on Monday, and then, you know, 2 hours Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Of course, I've been filling in for Malloy, too, so that adds an extra hour of sitting.
I'm sorry, that's what I was alluding to, the Malloy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like to hear you when you do that. I didn't hear it. Yeah.
Yeah, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Well, you do the replay, right? Sometimes you do the replay.
We play it when it's live in the 9 o'clock hour.
Okay.
But yeah,
Mike is out there.
Ugh. And justifiably so.
I don't understand how he hasn't had like multiple heart attacks.
I'm just glad that he hasn't. He's taken extremely good care of himself over the years. I think he quit. He told me once he quit smoking when he was like 45. And, you know, goes to the gym and swims. And, you know, I'm looking forward to, further healing in my own right, because I want to get better. I want to do better by myself in terms of you know, exercise. I've got weight I need to lose. You know, everybody told me don't worry about losing weight or anything before the procedure, because you're going to need all your strength. And so I took that advice to heart and ate anything I wanted. Now I got to tell you, I brought back multiple tubs of, because this is not me being good to me, but it makes me happy. Brought back multiple tubs of Trowbridge's pimento cheese. Nothing like it. I've never found anything even remotely like it. It's really mild. It's not at all sharp. And it's just pleasant. And the little pimento flavor comes through. But what I could not bring, of course, was multiple big old tubs of Bluebell homemade vanilla. And can't get it here. Can't get it here, and I am jonesing so bad.
Bluebell ice cream you cannot get?
No Bluebell in West Virginia.
Well, you just said it like the whole thing. No Bluebell in West Virginia.
Well, just because it's true. What do you mean, what do I mean? There is not so much as a pint carton of Bluebell ice cream to be had in the entire state of West Virginia, period. They don't bring it here.
Dang, go on.
Because I kept a half gallon tub of the homemade vanilla in the freezer in the apartment in Birmingham. And just, you know, I'd be cruising through the kitchen, grab a spoon, get me a big spoonful, and be happy. That's that homemade vanilla is the damnedest stuff. I think there might be some crack in the recipe or something. Once, you know,
it leaves the vapors in your mouth, doesn't it? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, and for anybody who has ever dipped a spoon in the churn when it's just come out of the ice cream maker on a hot summer day, that taste is right there. I don't know how they do it. No other vanilla ice cream tastes like it. And it is so exquisite. It is, you know, everybody, you know, it's just, you know, plain vanilla, boring vanilla. There's nothing boring about vanilla. Goddamn, vanilla comes from an orchid.
They never had any good vanilla. That's the problem.
I mean, this stuff is, it's exotic.
Man, ugh. Don't get me started.
And
don't
so
get started on that ice cream.
But I did check the website. They will ship.
Mm-hmm.
They will ship it to you on dry ice,
yeah,
overnight.
At what cost?
It's a hundred. It's $135 bucks for 2 gallons.
Shit.
And a shit ton of dry ice.
All right. So you gotta like get someone to procure that. You gotta sell that ice when it comes. Sell it dry. That'll defray some of the cost.
Yeah, because where do you? I wouldn't even know where to get dry ice around here.
Man.
But I miss it.
Well, all right. See, all right, so I don't know.
I brought back 3 loaves of Publix sourdough.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
And people, what I'm talking about here, I know people think, you know, oh, she's just got a hang up for that. No. I mean, there's other sourdough. I mean, the Wiggling Pig down in Birmingham, they had their own store sourdough. I tried it. Didn't like it. It was ordinary.
Sourdough's funny. Yeah. Even a Trader Joe's sourdough is not quite as good as the Publix.
Oh, no. I don't know what they're doing, but my God. And if you get there early in the morning and you get it when it's come out and it's hot.
Yeah.
Run home.
And then put it in the sleeve. It's in a sleeve, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah. Run home. Put it in the toaster. Lightly, lightly toast it. Put the Kerrygold to it and then hit it with the... Oh God! What's it? It's an old English brand of bitter orange marmalade. Huh?
See,
you and me get into the food porn, and yeah, I do.
You know,
I miss that Birmingham Piggly Wiggly. It's and for people familiar with Birmingham,
tell me about that. That's like the Publix of Piggly Wiggly.
Yeah. Oh, it's the one on Claremont. University Boulevard becomes Claremont over in the Highlands District. And when I saw that bank of craft beer taps, I was like, these people are living down here. And
I don't get it. Why can't we have something nice like that?
You can't have it either?
No, let me tell you, the pigs we have, if you're...
Your pig, you're telling me your pig is not bougie?
Listen, bougie, shit. If you don't have on overalls, you're not even allowed in the store.
If you don't have a pig in the back of the pickup truck.
Yeah, you don't look like you work for a living. You can't come in here. You know?
Oh, and their hot bar, my God. And they did, and they just routinely do like roasted chicken and dressing, not just for like Thanksgiving or Christmas. And this beautiful golden gravy, and jalapeno cornbread muffins.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Oh
and,
yeah!
And,
oh, yeah.
And the green beans of my soul. Not the round half runners, but the flat Roma bush beans.
Yeah.
Cooked with some bacon.
Yeah, the Italian green beans.
Yeah, cooked with some bacon. And
yeah.
And I think they do the same thing that my neighbor did and add just a little bit of sugar. Phew! You know,
now, I'm in that camp. I've been telling you something. I used to not be in that sugar camp, but I'm going to tell you, it's a chemical reaction. The tiniest amount of sugar, people would be surprised. A quarter teaspoon, it depends on the proportions, but just a little bit of sugar in your whatever you're making, just a little bit, it binds the flavors.
Yeah, so you asked, am I happy to be home? I am happy to be home, but I miss those Chinese restaurants down there. Two in particular, Mr. Chen's and the Red Pearl. I mean, because they were cooking some cooking. I mean, when's the last time you went into a Chinese restaurant and saw Chinese chitlins on the menu?
No.
Yeah.
No, it's been a long time.
Oh. And it just, yeah.
Okay. So you know what? Now we know that you have something else to look forward to when you go back to the area.
Yeah, I got a reminder of my follow-up appointment. I thought it was like February 9th. No, it's the 16th. So February 16th.
Oh, good.
So I'll go down there a couple of days early and, I don't know, eat at my favorite places in Birmingham and then come home. And at least I'll be able to load up on my pimento cheese and my sourdough and my hot slaw from Dick Howell's Barbecue. And yeah, it's
that
like
sounds great.
It's like Smokey and the Bandit, only with like Southern food.
Well, I'm just saying that the pigs around most of the pigs in this state, unless you're in the capital, and even then, they just don't keep them up properly.
This place would blow your mind. I mean, they even had a partnership deal with one of the local breweries, like less than a mile away, and they did pig branded craft beer in cans.
Shit, that fresh?
Yes, and one of them was a Kolsch.
That's your favorite. With a nice deli sandwich.
Yeah.
Rob, man. Well, you have something?
And they did fish and fried shrimp on Fridays. Phew. Sorry, I don't mean to wax all food porny and stuff, but you know, you and I get into it. And I am tomorrow, if I can scrape it together, I'm going to try to go and get a brisket to put on the smoker and smoke the cabbage quarters and have corned beef and cabbage for good luck on Saturday. You know, New Year's Day.
Dude, that sounds good right now.
And it blows my mind because I got a reminder on Facebook. God, I hate it, but, you know, some of it's handy. 4 years ago, I was smoking a brisket on New Year's Day, and it was 11 below zero.
Jesus.
And I guess when January does arrive, that we will begin to see the change. Let's see, lows next week. Let's see, Monday the 3rd, we get a low of 34. No, I'm sorry, a low of 20 and a high of 34. And we get a low of 21 a week from tomorrow, high of 35. So, yeah, it's coming. But, you know, Tuesday I'll be 8 weeks post. And so, you know, every day, just got to do everything in my power to not get Omicron'd. And that's going to get harder and harder and harder to do because there are assholes in this country, Todd, who don't give a shit. You know, it's not just that they don't give a shit about anybody but themselves. They don't give a shit about themselves either. You know, because they're willing to fucking die to own the libs. And I sincerely don't get it.
You see what I see. It's a badge of courage. It's a badge of honor, I mean. You know.
Yeah, it's the dead badge of courage.
And they like you said early on, they like.
Oh, come on. You're going to let that one blow. You're going to let that one blow by? The dead badge of courage?
Oh, where's your cowbell?
Thank you.
Cowbell
I'm not self-administering.
No, all right, you're not so well. That's part of the process, huh? Oh, so sad. No, I believe in self-administering. I do. When you know it's right. Now you're a veteran. You know when it's right.
Well, but I swapped out self-administering cowbells to self-administer my estrogen injections. That was a new and different thing to learn.
Well, never mind. I'm not going to ask that.
No, you can ask. And yes, there. And there's a little bit there's a little bit of contortion involved.
No way. It's not there. What? Really?
Yeah, load the little sucker up and turn around and find the spot. And I still kind of... And it makes it worse because I'm like... And finally, and then you got to rearrange the syringe in your hand so that you got your thumb on the plunger and your... Every Sunday.
How long is that going?
What do you mean, me and estrogen?
Yeah.
Forever.
Okay. Well, that's what you have to do. No, no, I mean, there's no way around that. You didn't go to all this trouble to fuck up. You know, that's okay.
Right.
Good God. Wow, man.
But I may start going back to my doctor's office because they're kind. The nurse there is kind enough to give me my shot. It's a little easier.
That's nice.
Yeah. But I didn't have anybody do it for me in Birmingham, so it was just I had to learn how.
Jesus. I hope you didn't miss.
Me too. But it's a little, you know, in a way, it's a better spot. You get better, apparently you get better absorption or something than if you do it in the thigh, and you can't do it in the arm. And...
Yeah, that's what I figured. You need a real big, meaty place to do it. Probably.
Yeah, because it's intramuscular, not sub-Q.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you mentioned something earlier that I wanted to loop back to. But before I do that, I had a lovely note from Jude. She said, I knew the brisket would bring us Todd. Amazed I am. The mention of the brisket, you know, conjured you. So I'm glad
well,
too.
Well, I mean, come on. We started talking about it, and then the smoke, and then, you know, cabbage is just a wonderful vegetable.
Oh, and it was just a lark one time a couple of years ago that I decided to smoke it, so I quartered it and set it in the smoker, and it just, you know, because all those leaves, you know, and it just kind of traps the smoke in it, and it actually tingles on your tongue. So it's fantastic smoked cabbage. But what I was going to bring up with you a minute ago, though, Todd, is the idea. You said, you know, white folks just get so tired of hearing everybody else complain, and there was a certain amount of resonance with that because, yeah, they don't, you know, I mean, they're actually saying out loud, we don't want our children to be taught how awful their grandparents and great grandparents were. Because it, you know, it gives them a sad, and, you know, you can't, they're not allowed to be sad. Have you watched Don't Look Up yet?
No, but I'll write it down.
That's a must.
Okay.
But, you know, because I saw some Twitter responses earlier today, and one of the Twitter responses was, the only people I see criticizing Don't Look Up are the people who get skewered in Don't Look Up. And the morning blather program, Tyler Perry and Kate Blanchett are the hosts. And they're like, well, we like, even the bad news, we like to keep the bad news kind of light and happy. And it's just so vacuous and so vapid, it's just unbearable. But no, what I was going to say is that You're so right in that assertion. There's Moms for Liberty or whatever in Williamson County, Tennessee, trying to get books pulled out of the library. They're now actively talking in Oklahoma about banning books. We're back to all that crap again. And I saw the results of a of a study or an investigation done by a pro-trans group, a trans advocacy group, who said, you know, we're just getting our ass kicked on every issue because we don't necessarily know how to talk about it, or we're talking about it wrong. You know, people are tired of finding out how unhappy so many people are in this country, and they want to believe in a fairy tale United States where everything's just hunky dory. And it's not.
There are a lot of people like that, you know, and that's why I only said what I said because of you know, my observations over a long time. And you have to build, especially, you know, I'm talking about people who don't look like me, but I have built up trust with people, and they're, you know, they're frank with me. And I'm talking about friends, acquaintances, associates, and patrons. Because, you know, now, and this is what we're talking about, now we've got what this quote-unquote, what people call a cancel culture, which I call bullshit on. But I can't say that.
Yeah, you mean accountability culture?
Right. So, you know, my response to that, when people say that, I say, okay. I said, oh, so they took that statue of, you know, such and I said, oh, look, it's right here on the internet. See? You can see it. It hadn't disappeared. It's right here. Yeah, but they took it down. I said, well, that's different. I said, why was it there in the first place? You know, what was behind that?
No, it was there for a very specific reason. That's why they put it up in 1890 and not 1865.
That's my see. It's like you know what? Like social scientists look at things. There's always gray areas. When was it put up? Was it in front of a courthouse? Was this like? Was this in 1877 or was it in 1866?
Yeah, 1890. And who funded smack dab in the middle of the rise of Jim Crow, smack dab in the middle of the Lost Cause, smack dab in the middle of, you know, them going back to their previous nasty ways and just reminding folks not to get uppity.
Right. Right. But you see, to get all that complicated is very difficult for some people. They just don't want to hear. That's my granddaddy. You know, we've had this discussion before. But, it's not about trying to make people feel bad about their ancestors or trying to protect their. You cannot protect your children from the truth. They're going to find out anyway. But the point is, this is very simple. Everyone can understand this. Part of the healing process is to acknowledge what has happened, you see, and if we can't do
that's,
that,
that's
then
a huge
really
part.
Cannot.
That's a huge part of truth and reconciliation. It's the truth part, and you know, you're right. There are multiple gray areas where things like that are concerned. You know, there are a lot of people. There are a lot of people who died on the southern side, fought on the southern side, who are not there by choice. They didn't rally around the Bonnie Blue flag. It was you either come fight or you die. Because they were conscripted.
They were conscripted. You know, and there were black slave owners and there were black Confederate soldiers, but for a lot of reasons. You have to dig a little deeper. It's not very simple.
And we are not a country that does nuance. Hey, I need to get an announcement out there real quick. I just had a note from our pal Scott in Wisconsin. Scott said, I'll kick in $100. If it's matched, I'll do another $100. So that's a 2-for-1 challenge. You actually don't double your money, you triple your money. And that would knock us down under $1,000 for tomorrow, and that would be so huge in the time remaining. Triple your money up to $100, and there's, what did I say? There's $85 of other challenges out there. And really do have a ton of bills to catch up with now that I'm home, and so that we can go boldly into 2022. And I cringe now every time I say it, Todd, because I realize that that's saying 2022, and it may turn out to be 2022 also.
Oh, that's right. Also, that's, you know, that's the other thing I wanted to say. And by the way, I think that the community is going to get you at least under that $1,000 mark, especially with that new challenge. I can see that happening.
It would be lovely if it did.
But this, you know, you see the mainstream press now. Oh, they're like,
Well, I don't know. Even the generals. Oh, it looks like we might have a problem in the military. You know, where were they last year?
Yeah, exactly.
So, it's interesting. We have to do better than this. It's not looking good, though. I'll be honest with you. It's really not. Because Trump is going to win again. If he runs, he'll win.
Dear God, don't say that.
Well, I mean, who do we have that can beat him? I mean, you know, people are just easy now.
Well, they want to believe what they want to believe, and unfortunately, there's a significant portion of this population that wants to believe some really awful, evil shit. I mean, I mentioned that one deep fake of Joe Biden purportedly receiving a vial of blood from a 13-year-old boy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even remotely true, but they're, you know, see, it's just like we said, they're blood drinkers. Hillary's wearing some poor baby's face.
Okay, so, of course, the former First Lady was on Morning Joe this morning. And, you know, I don't know why she did not, but she refrained from saying, I told you these deplorables are out here. Because that's exactly what we're dealing with.
Yeah, and the only thing wrong with what she said back then was she said it was a basket of deplorables. It was a goddamn shipping container of deplorables.
Oh, God.
I mean,
even Barr had to step away. It was too much for him.
Yeah, and now he is decidedly unhappy. Or was reported to have been decidedly unhappy when he received a summons in the Michael Cohen case.
Too bad. See, this is what's got to happen. Now we got to hold this person accountable. You know who? We have to hold a former president accountable right now. He got impeached twice. All that did was embolden his followers. You know, they believe they're redistricting. See, that's the thing. They're talking all this fake bullshit while they manipulate the system. Because, once again, I got to repeat it, because some people weren't listening. This little change in Georgia and all these other places, that was a Trojan horse. The problem is the state legislatures.
Sure.
We have to start winning state houses. Because, you know, these folks in the ferries, they have awakened to the fact of what local prosecutors can do and what state legislatures can do. They have a lot of power.
And what school boards can do.
And, yeah, and this book stuff, that's ridiculous. You know, that is awful. It's just awful. We cannot afford to move backwards in terms of education. We're already behind. We just can't do this. And that's why we have to speak up. Every time you hear someone speaking out of turn, acting they don't know what you're talking about, speak up and come back with some facts. And they're not going to like it. They're going to tune you out, but that's okay. You have to keep trying. You know, because they're just out of it. But I'm going to, I know you said you have a stack and maybe someone else wants to talk with you. And,
well, I'm knocking off fairly shortly because, I got doing Malloy and everything, but I wanted, before you go, if you don't mind, I wanted to share something with you. I'm trying to find it here. Kurt Vonnegut, years ago, wrote a letter when he found out that a school board was banning banning Slaughterhouse Five, and he wrote to a guy on a school board at Drake High School in North Dakota named Charles McCarthy. This was 1973. McCarthy ran the school board there.
And he was concerned about Vonnegut using obscene language. Of course, now they're upset in Oklahoma about trans teen survival guide. But he wrote November 16th, 1973, "Dear Mr. McCarthy, I'm writing to you in your capacity as chairman of the Drake School Board. I'm among those American writers whose books have been destroyed in the now famous furnace of your school. Certain members of your community have suggested that my work is evil. This is extraordinarily insulting to me. The news from Drake indicates to me that books and writers are very unreal people to you. I'm writing this letter to let you know how real I am. I want you to know, too, that my publisher and I have done absolutely nothing to exploit the disgusting news from Drake. We're not clapping each other on the back, crowing about all the books we'll sell because of the news. We've declined to go on television, have written no fiery letters to editorial pages, have granted no lengthy interviews. We're angered and sickened and saddened. And no copies of this letter have been sent to anybody else. You now hold the only copy in your hands. It is a strictly private letter from me to the people of Drake, who have done so much to damage my reputation in the eyes of their children, and then in the eyes of the world. Do you have the courage and ordinary decency to show this letter to the people, or will it too be consigned to the fires of your furnace?" And he said, "I gather from what I read in the papers and hear on television that you imagine me and some other writers too as being sort of rat-like people who enjoy making money from poisoning the minds of young people." He goes on to describe himself and said, "If you were to bother to read my books, to behave as educated persons would, you would learn that they're not sexy and do not argue in favor of wildness of any kind. They beg that people be kinder and more responsible than they often are. It is true that some of the characters speak coarsely. That is because people speak coarsely in real life, especially soldiers and hard-working men speak coarsely, and even our most sheltered children know that. And we all know, too, that those words really don't damage children much. They didn't damage us when we were young. It was evil deeds and lying that hurt us." And, I mean, this is just a blistering response. "If you and your board are now determined to show that you in fact have wisdom and maturity when you exercise your powers over the education of your young, then you should acknowledge that it was a rotten lesson you taught young people in a free society when you denounced and then burned books you hadn't even read. You should also resolve to expose your children to all sorts of opinions and information in order that they will be better equipped to make decisions and to survive. Again, you have insulted me, and I'm a good citizen, and I am very real. There needs to be something like that."
I like that.
There needs to be something like that sent to that state senator in Oklahoma.
Well, okay, now you got me all curious. So how did this letter come out?
Oh, it was in his papers.
Okay, after his death.
Yeah, he kept a copy.
Okay.
But he didn't disseminate it.
Right. Okay, that's my... Okay, so that's a nice... That's a beautiful primary source. That's the real shit right there.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and that sounds like today. You see, this is... Oh, my God. Vonnegut just broke it down. I'm thinking about Catcher in the Rye. I mean, that was kind of raw.
Yeah, sure
it was.
It was
old when I read it. But it was real. And I was in boarding school when I read it. I was like, oh, that's shit we do. What the fuck?
There we go.
I still can't stop laughing over that. It's too fucking funny. Nothing changed. But, yeah, I mean, Kurt Vonnegut just broke it down. Like, you need to expose children. That's what you have to do.
Well, it's like the man who corrupted Hadleyburg. You know, Mark Twain. At the beginning of it, their motto reads, "Lead us not into temptation." By the end of the story, their motto is changed to, "Lead us into temptation." So there's that. By the way, Jude says, "Please offer my reality that you and Todd are the alchemy of engagement." Ah. Thank you, Jude.
That's a beautiful thing to say.
Oh, she's a beautiful person. Let's see. The last of yesterday's challenge has been met of Ralph's challenge has been met, leaving 40 to that and 100 more And that's a tripling challenge, the offer from Scott in Wisconsin. So there's $140 in challenges left on the table, and hopefully it'll be met. But is it just because it's a political year that I don't think it is? I mean, they open these fronts, these maggots, these Republicans do, because they know that it's a moneymaker. There's money, and how gross is it to say there is money in hate in this country? We got a brand new circuit judge in Kanawha County, West Virginia. His name's Greer. He was appointed after one of the judges retired. Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice appointed him. And he was a high-ranking official of the West Virginia Family Policy Council. You can guess what kind of an organization that is. He has spent his life hating the LGBTQQIA+ community, and now he says, "Well, no, I can be neutral and fair. Everybody's gonna get a fair hearing before me, except them little fucking trans kids, them queers, right?"
He's Tony Perkins's confidant.
Yeah, he's a little mini Tony Perkins. Norman? Yes, Mother Bates. Thank you, but thank you, Jeremy, and thank you, Jude, for jumping in. I appreciate it. I am going to go ahead and wrap things up here, Todd. It's been delightful talking with you. I'm so glad I got to talk to you before the old year rolls into the new year. Hopefully again soon. How long does your little break last before you have to put on the hip waders and go back into the swamp?
I don't have to go. Well, I'll be working from home here and there, but I don't have to show up until Wednesday.
Nice. So you're going to do some. You're going to do some New Year's luck cooking.
Oh, are you kidding? Oh man, I'm getting ready. I'm ready to gain some weight, man. This is going to be ridiculous.
Have your hog jowl, so you start out the year eating high on the hog.
I got it all. Got that lined up.
Have your greens, black-eyed peas.
Greens. Black eye. You know, honestly, I eat black eyed peas at least once a week, frankly.
Not a bad idea. Protein, fiber.
And let me say this. You know, you're so good at what you do, but this is back to the food again. And I have to say this. We're talking about canned vegetables here, which, you know, are like...
Margaret Holmes.
That's what I'm talking about. See, it's a whole... It's not even... Look, it's a whole different level. Am I exaggerating?
No. No, it's the best canned vegetables there are.
I mean it. I've been eating the beating vegetables a very long time. And, you know, they grow. They got a big farm as you go to the beach in a little place called Anor in Horry County. Going toward the beach. And, it's so green. It looks like Lancaster County in Pennsylvania. It's just green and lush and fertile. But, oh, my goodness, they're butter beans, they're black-eyed peas, they're lima beans.
You know what I love? I love the canned tomatoes and okra.
Mmm. You can dump that shit right on a pot of rice, man. You're good to go.
Mm-hmm. And if you want a little shortcut for some gumbo, bang, as Emerald used to say. Oh, one last thing before we go. I got a dandy for you. Brother Deacon Asa sent this along.
I heard of him before.
Yeah, this is just too good. This is too good to pass up. Oh, my God. I mean, holy cow. So there's this dude. This comes from Vice. There's this dude by the name of Ed Solomon. And he says that he's an expert mathematician, and he found evidence at precinct-level reporting that the election was rigged by an algorithm. Okay? That was back in January of last year. Well, we missed this a couple of months back, but it's too good not to share. He's not a mathematician. Christina Bob on Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, asked him, "Well, what's the likelihood
being of that being a coincidence. He said, you can use the binomial probability formula, and the chance of that happening is 1 over 10 to an exponent so large there's not enough stars in the universe. There's not enough atoms in the universe to explain the number. It can't happen naturally.
Yeah, well,
Dominion Voting Systems sued Onan, too. And they pointed out that Ed Solomon, well, he had a few math classes at SUNY Stony Brook between 2008 and 2015. Never got a degree. He's apparently a swing set installer. With a rap sheet for any number of drug-related charges. Did 2 years for criminal sale of controlled substances. And Onan wasn't interested in finding any of that stuff out.
Let me say this. They don't call it Stony Brook for nothing.
Dude.
And it's got New Paltz beat. And New Paltz ain't no joke. That's where we used to hang out sometimes, SUNY New Paltz. And that's, you talking, it's pretty, like, you better be careful when you send your kids at SUNY New Paltz. You keep an eye on them. Everything is up there in Mid-Hudson Valley. Oh, my goodness. But, that's what, you see what I'm saying? You see what I don't know how we recover from this, man. We can't let, people cannot vote. I don't know. Maybe we don't need to vote any longer. We need to go back to how it used to be. You vote for your congressmen and legislators, and then they in turn vote for the, you know, federal office. We're not responsible enough to elect people. We're just not anymore.
Well, we are too, some of us are too eager to believe whatever spectacular headline-grabbing horseshit comes down the pike. People, you know, it's all bias confirmation. People believe what they want to believe. And, you know, there's, Tara Devlin had mentioned something about Jacinda Ardern down in New Zealand. And how well they've handled the pandemic. And somebody asked her, you know, what's the secret? How did y'all do this, handle this so well? And she said, well, the fact of the matter is, we do not have Rupert Murdoch media in New Zealand, period.
No. What? You're kidding.
Yeah, I mean, Rupert Murdoch and his empire, particularly Fox News, TV, Radio Rwanda, and the little clones that have arisen behind it because it's a good dollar, are, you know, they are probably the single largest active vector of the pandemic in this country, period. And you know, in the UK, too, because he's over there. And Australia. But there's no Rupert Murdoch media properties in New Zealand, and that's why people don't fall for the, you know, don't fall for the horse shit.
Well,
or the horse paste.
How did they do that? That's why I got loud, because I know if they're all in the Pacific Rim.
I don't know. I maybe they've got laws that can prevent that.
Because she's impressive, you know. She's just like, she's young, but she's like, all right, this is what we're going to do. You know, she's out ahead of the curve. Well, Well, we have to keep moving forward. That's all we can do, because we can't give up.
And we got to find some way to get people motivated to go to the polls. We've got to have an overwhelming presence at the polls. Whoever gets out the vote wins. And I don't know what I don't know what it's going to take.
Well, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But you know what? If we'll get what we deserve. Maybe.
Well,
I don't want to say that. That's not.
No. I mean, that's because you don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. This community doesn't deserve handing the Congress over to the House over to Kevin McCarthy, or giving it back to Moscow Mitch McConnell. You know, Harry Reid passed away a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Nil Nisi Bonum and all of that.
But as I watched the eulogies on the for-profit media, I felt like I was hearing a description of somebody that I didn't recognize. Because all I remember of Harry Reid as Speaker or as Senate Majority Leader, all I remember of his tenure doing that is him getting rolled time after time after time by Mitch McConnell.
That's what I remember. And even when he had a shot, he didn't assert himself.
Yeah. I mean, even before Joe Manchin was in the Senate, he couldn't pull together, and he had supposedly, as of August of 2009, he had a 60-vote majority. But on things like, what was called the card check bill,
mm-hmm.
I was there in January of 2009 when he promised that that would be passed that year. And then the economy took a crap, and Ben Nelson of Nebraska, damn him, and Blanche Lincoln and Mary Landrieu said, well, you know, we can't be letting people organize because it would be bad for business in a tough economy. And there it went. It's gone. Poof.
Well, I'm going to speculate that you're going to agree with me, but I don't know that. However, if you compare Nancy Pelosi to Harry Reid, there's no comparison. Nancy Pelosi, look how old Nancy Pelosi is.
Yeah.
They talk about these men. She's older than all of them. And she knows what the fuck she knows what she's doing.
Yeah, it was kind of a strange week. Desmond Tutu, Harry Reid, and John Madden.
John Madden, God.
This says a lot about Merca. Who had the greatest impact on American culture of those three?
Madden.
Yeah.
Hands down. All these young people out here, they don't know shit about, they don't know who's running their lives,
exactly. They can't tell you what the three branches, oh boy, am I being I'm being a bad old lady. They can't tell you what the three branches of government are, but by God, they can tell you what the fuck cover two is.
See, we're on the same page. It's like, it's okay. It's nice to, and it's fun to have, watch sports, but what else do you know? Like, honestly.
And that's not to take anything away from John Madden.
Look. Oh, my.
I mean, in his own way, he was a teacher.
Look at this right here. You see that? They're running up this line. You see this right here? Those guys are blocking. That's the way you got to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And the turducken?
He was like somebody's uncle. He's like, you're watching your uncle on television. I don't know. I have a soft spot in my heart for John Madden. I really do. Because he was gregarious. He rode around in a bus. He never flew.
Hated to fly.
Yeah, I'm in the park.
Well, in regard to Harry Reid, Shorty in L.A. says, R.I.P., Harry, but you were gullible. Maybe that's the word. Todd, well, it's been a wonderful conversation. Thank you for participating. I really appreciate it. I'm sorry there were other folks that tried to call in. I'm sorry I didn't. When I've got Skype configured like I have it configured here so that I can play clips on the other machine, I can't merge calls. So because Scott wanted to say hi and Jude wanted to say hi, so my apologies. Jude said I tried to reach the program, it just rang and rang. Well, that's what it does.
Oh man, that's painful. I'm sorry.
Please send out to everyone the focus shift we are responsible for as this new year is close and arriving. My life has been enhanced by listening, digesting, and challenged by all of you. Grateful, and Todd, thank you for you.
a kindred spirit. Thank you, Jude.
Thank you, Jude.
A spiritual advisor to the horn. So, I'm going to take a little break, and then it'll be Malloy time. So, and by the way, you got to fire up Netflix. You got to watch. Don't look up. And tell me what you think.
I did. Hey, is the PayPal interface working okay?
Yeah, it's working great, as far as I know.
Okay, good. All right.
Thank you, Todd. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year, Robin. And it is a new year for you. It is a new year.
Oh, this is a heck of a new year. And I've been thinking a lot about that.
Well, I'll check you out in a week or two.
Okay. Be there. Aloha.
All right.
Book 'em Dano. Oh, by the way, there is a worldwide Kinecka shortage right now. In case you were wondering.
You're out of it. Wait a minute. I have not seen it. I was going to ask you.
Yeah, because cooking a little Kinecka in your black eyed peas.
Woo.
There's a supply chain and employment problem at the Kinecka plant. So I guess they're not getting their pork. And they can't find, they're having a hard time finding people to run the shifts to make the sausage. It's Alabama, so I kind of wonder how they pay.
I don't know. People are sick around here. People are sick. I know you're going, but I got sick last week again. I mean, I was bedridden for 3 days. Like, when I say, I mean bedridden. Like,
no shit. I mean, it wasn't the Rona?
I got tested. They said no, but I don't. Listen, and I want you to ask Paul because the history.
Yeah, we do. We need to hear from Paul from Parts Unknown.
These tests are not accurate. That's the thing. They're not accurate. Man, my bones hurt. My fucking bones hurt again. I wasn't as bad as last year, but it was bad. In the bed, like if someone said, you have $1 million, go sign the check. I could not have fulfilled
that.
Well,
and there's that story I saw the other day where the quickie test, apparently Omicron has mutated to be able to evade the quickie test.
Oh Jesus.
So you got a bunch of false negatives out there. The positivity rate may be considerably higher than we thought.
It has to be. This thing's going to end up being like a marker. This Omicron. Because once again, we have to remember novel virus. Novel. We don't even know the long-term effects of this yet.
Nope, we don't know. We don't know where it's going.
The transmissibility is Omicron. I mean, we were worried about being around somebody for 5 minutes. It's down. You just have to be. That's it. You just a few particles of air. That's it. If someone sneezes in the room,
right, and we're finding out that that the viral load, you can have a viral load in your nose at day five and be going right back to work. Because business needs that.
But I get it. I mean, what else are we to do? Because these people are so worried about folks getting some kind of damn free money, whatever that means. I don't understand that, because that's a whole other conversation. You have to go. But I don't understand. We have to just fight back against bullshit.
Hear.
Just because people are ignorant and loud about it, but shut the fuck up. Sit down.
Ignorant, loud, and proud.
And got guns.
There we are.
All right, man. I'm sorry. I mean, you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. You're good.
Robin.
I know.
Robin.
You don't got to worry.
You are excellent at what you do. And Happy New Year to you and yours. And,
well, if I get to do the brisket, there will be food porn photos.
You got to do that. You got to do it. Is it rainy there?
Oh, it's pissed. It's just pissed down the rain.
Mm-hmm. That's what we have here. I don't know. This is a good time to stay off the roads, people, because they, like you said, that's the truth. The amateur. This is the amateur weekend. You know, The people who don't drink, they're worse than regular drunk because they're not used to it. So anyway, say hello to Annette.
I certainly will.
And don't get all Bartramine.
Yeah. You got it. Happy New Year,
Todd.
Talk to you later. Take care of yourself.
Happy.
Be careful.
Okay.
Later. And so I didn't mean to go 2.5 hours, but that's how it worked out. Thanks, everybody. By the way, I had a note from Ralph's, and she's going to kick in another $25 if the $40 that remains on her challenge comes in. Thank you. Thank you, Ralph's. And that would be a big boost. So that's and she'll kick in another 25 more to go with it. So it's a 75 for 75. Thank you, Ralph's. And that was in honor of, remember, that was in honor of Ferg and his beloved and the little one on the way. Thank you. And Scott in Wisconsin has a challenge on the table. Hopefully we'll carry that over into tomorrow. Friday on the front porch, last one of 2021, tomorrow evening. I hope you'll join us. Thanks to all of our subscribers, Patreon and PayPal. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to each and every one of you who, over the course of nearly two decades, has taken part and shared in this ongoing conversation. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks so kindly to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you. Oh, hey, there's Will, formerly of Chicago. Hope things are going well for you, Will. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, now a union shop, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Please stay safe. Please, 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 please get your booster. I'm assuming everybody's vaccinated. Please keep washing your hands. Don't touch your face. Please keep using your hand sanitizer. Hell, I keep some here in the studio even. Get as good a mask as you can get, N95 or better. Maintain your social distance. And if somebody comes towards you barking and grunting and hooting about racist Marxism, avoid that person like the plague, because they are, and always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. Later.